Listen. The Fraser's Brain Theater of the Ear presents a tale of the unusual and supernatural. So turn out your lights and listen as we present a tale of Halloween horror titled Crybaby Bridge. Sometimes I try to look back and figure out how it came to this. It started out so normal, so ordinary. How did it turn out so wrong? I'd really like to blame her for it all, but I can't. I was riding Hoot with Lacey Peterson the night it all began. Of course, I never called him Lacey, at least not to his face. The other deputies called him that, on account of how he'd made the rookie mistake of telling him he'd let his girlfriend talk him into trying on her underwear one time. They'd never let him forget it. He took it from them because they had seniority, but he sure as hell didn't have to take it from me. So like I said, we were riding Hoot. You might call it third shift or graveyard. It was the time of night that only hoot owls and policemen should be out. And small town reporters riding along, of course. So anyway, Lacey Peterson turns to me and says,
"Hey, I got a story you could write. You ever been out to Crybaby Bridge?"
Crybaby Bridge?
"Yeah, where this baby died. I forget if there was a flood or what, but the baby died and then the mom killed herself, and they say that if you drive out on the bridge at midnight, you can hear the baby crying. You ever been?"
"No, but then we moved out of Helltown before I was old enough to drive."
"Where?"
"Helltown. Boston Village, Ohio. It's not there anymore. Whole town's abandoned. But they used to talk about Crybaby Bridge."
"Yeah, I heard these other places say they have one, but we got the real one."
"You don't say."
"Yeah, I was out there a couple nights ago. I heard it."
"I thought that was more of a teenage thing, parking at the bridge."
"What can I say? It gets boring some nights."
"Car 4, you there, Lacey?"
"This is Car 4.
"Got a disturbance at 1615 Magnolia. See the woman, Helena Troy, over."
"Roger that. On my way."
"You got someone here named Helena Troy?"
"Yeah, you ain't been here that long, have you? It's kind of a joke. A lady named Melinda Gomez, widow. Every couple of years, she gets a little crazy, starts partying hard with the wrong crowd. Guys fight over her."
"Like Helen of Troy."
"Right. A few of them even died. Then it's like she gets that out of her system and we don't have a problem for a while."
So we went to the address we were given. And sure enough, there was a crowd outside with two big guys squaring off, each one being held back by a handful of his friends. We got out of the car and got to hand it to Lacey. He knew how to take charge of the situation.
"Hey, break it up there. Back up. Back up."
"Where's Melinda?"
"Right here, deputy. Long time."
She stepped out of the shadows into the glare of Lacey's headlights, and she was nothing like I'd imagined. She looked younger than the deputy's description had made her sound, in her mid-20s maybe. She had dark hair and dark eyes. Her lips were parted as if she were on the verge of saying something you'd been waiting your whole life to hear.
"You gotta stop doing this, Melly."
"Why? I'm not hurting anybody. Just trying to have some fun."
"Your fun is getting people hurt."
"They're big boys. I can't make them do anything they don't want. I'm more interested in what they do want."
She stepped closer to Lacey, leaned in to lay her head on his shoulder and kiss his neck.
"You want things too, don't you, deputy? I can smell it on you. You want some things real bad."
She turned and seemed to notice me for the first time.
"Who's your friend?"
"This here's Joe Markham. He's a reporter, riding along with me for the night."
"Glad to meet you, Mr. Markham. Any friend of Lacey's is a friend of mine, and I've got a feeling we can be good friends."
Looking back on it now, the things she was saying were laughable. A caricature of seduction, but if you'd been there, looking into those dark eyes, well, you wouldn't have been laughing. Let's just leave it at that. She gave me a hug, and her body was lean and strong, but soft in all the right places. She nuzzled against my neck for just a moment and gave a little sniff, and then she stepped back, her eyes wide.
"Where did you say you were from, Mr. Markham?"
"I didn't. But you can call me Joe. I'm from Ohio, originally.
Long way from home.
I guess. I don't really worry about where I'm from, though. I'm more interested in where I'm going.
And where's that?
You got me.
Have I?
Okay, Melinda. Fun's fun. You tell these boys goodnight and you get on home now.
You're no fun, Lacey, but okay. Good night, Mr. Markham. I'll be seeing you.
So, Lacey got the drunks headed in opposite directions, and then we headed out. The sun was coming out by the time the shift was ending, and we drove back to headquarters. I ran into the sheriff on my way out.
Markham, how'd you like your first ride along? A lot different from what you're used to, I expect.
A little.
I hear you met Melinda.
Yeah, I was curious about her. Lacey told me she goes through this every couple of years, but he's only been a deputy for 3, isn't that right?
That's right.
So how come he talked about it like it's some kind of long-standing pattern?
Because it is. She got her start long before he joined up with the county.
Can't have been that long.
It's almost 20 years now, give or take.
But that's impossible. The woman I met couldn't have been much older than her mid-20s.
Yeah, she is older. Quite a bit. And most of the time she looks it. But when she gets one of her, hot flashes, let's call them, well, she looks like you just saw. Much younger, full of life, very pretty. Hard to get out of your head.
That's true.
Word of advice, get her out of your head. Oh, Melly's a nice enough lady most of the time, but right about now, she turns wild and mean. It's almost like she enjoys watching men fight over her, likes watching them get hurt. And even with her reputation the way it is in town after 20 years of this, she still has men fighting to be first in line to fall for her act. Don't you be one of them. You be smarter than that, you hear?
I hear you. Don't worry. I only wish it had been that easy. My curiosity had been aroused, so I casually asked around about her. But nobody seemed to know much. She'd moved to town around 20 years before, worked at the plant, didn't seem to have any close friends. Nobody knew where she was from originally. You should have seen the looks I got, though. Everyone seemed to know that this was one of those times for her, and they obviously thought I was setting myself up to get beaten up. They didn't seem to believe me when I told them I wasn't interested in her that way. And then I dropped by the sheriff's office to see Lacey Peterson.
Hey, Joe. What brings you here?
Just thought I'd drop by. I was thinking that we never made it out to Crybaby Bridge.
You don't say. And you were thinking what? That you'd maybe ride along with me again and we'd head out there?
Yeah, something like that.
This wouldn't have anything to do with you wanting to run into Millie Gomez again, would it?
What do you mean?
You've been asking around about her. People are talking.
I'm a reporter. I get curious about things.
Well, you should be careful what you get curious about.
So is that a no on the ride along?
I doubt I could get another one approved so soon after the last one. We do have jobs outside of babysitting reporters, you know.
I understand. See you around, Deputy. So I went back to the little office we call the newsroom and wondered if Peterson was right. Had I really only wanted to do another ride-along just to see Melinda Gomez again? I mean, I didn't feel like I was in love or anything like that, but it was obvious that I'd become, not obsessed, but more preoccupied with her. And then my phone rang. Markham.
Hello, Mr. Markham. I understand you've been asking around about me.
Ms. Gomez?
Call me Melinda. And if there's anything you'd like to know about me, you can always just come by and ask me yourself. I don't bite.
Well, I hope I didn't offend you. It's just reporter's instinct. You know, as a reporter, we like to look at all sides of the story. Talking to other people lets me know more about you than just talking to you alone. Sometimes other people know things about you that you don't know yourself.
That's certainly true. For instance, I know something about you that you don't.
And what's that?
Where you're going to be at midnight tonight.
And where do you think I'll be?
There's a little bridge about 2 miles out of town on County Line Road.
That wouldn't happen to be Crybaby Bridge.
Yes, I think that's what they call it. You'll be there at midnight tonight.
Will you be there as well?
There's a pretty good chance. And an even better one if you bring wine.
Red or white?
Whichever you like. And if you're lucky, you'll find out what you really want to know about me.
Which is?
I'll see you then.
So it was a date. My belly fluttered with anticipation all afternoon. After work, I stopped by the liquor store to look at their wines. I couldn't decide between a red or a white. Ended up buying a rosé. Some people might say it's not a proper wine, but I figured it was good enough for what she wanted. I ate a dinner I couldn't taste, took a shower, and drove out to the place she'd described. Crybaby Bridge. I didn't see any other cars, so I pulled off the side of the road and waited. After a few minutes of sitting there alone in the dark, I saw headlights approaching in my rearview mirror. They pulled up behind me and stopped. As I was opening my door to get out, the colored strobes on top of the car started flashing. It was a county sheriff's car, and Lacey Peterson stepped out. He was holding a bottle of wine.
That you, Joe?
Deputy, what brings you out here?
Same thing that brings you, I'm guessing. She call you this afternoon?
Yep. Heard I was asking around about her. Why do you think she called us both out here at the same time?
I told you, she likes to see guys fight over her.
Does she think I'm stupid enough to fight you? You've got at least 6 inches and 50 pounds on me.
Who knows, man? I told you, she's crazy.
Then why are you here?
Because she's also hot. Or an older lady, you know.
Well, it doesn't even look like she showed up. Looks like she played us both for chumps. I guess I'm going to go... You hear that?
I told you this was the real deal.
Doesn't really sound like a baby, though. Sounds almost like that noise a cat makes.
Sounds like it's coming from down here. Come on.
We walked down the slope into the almost dry creek bed, followed the sound under the bridge. And there in the darkness, we could barely make out a feminine silhouette as the cries echoed all around us.
That you, Melly?
Hello, Lacey.
Joe.
Glad you could make it.
What's going on, Melinda? Why call both of us here?
I wanted to ask you about your father, Joe. What do you remember about him?
I never knew it. He left before I was born, but what does that have to do with this?
And what does it have to do with me? Are you just jerking me around or what?
No, I need you, Deputy. You see, Mr. Markham is going to kill you.
What? Don't be ridiculous. I'm not...
Yes, you are, Joe.
Right now.
I don't know what happened to me then. Something in her voice made my head spin, and then it was as if some great animal rage just roared up inside me. Before I even knew what I was doing, I turned and speared Lacey Peterson on the solar plexus with the fingers of my outstretched hand. He doubled over in pain, all the breath knocked out of him. His hand went for his gun, but before he could draw it, I hit him again in the same spot, just under the rib cage, and this time, my fingers tore through shirt and skin like they were paper. Next thing I knew, my hand had wriggled up past the diaphragm to grasp his beating heart. The strength seemed to go out of him as soon as I laid hold of his slick, wriggling heart. The gun slipped from his fingers and thumped to the ground. His diaphragm pinched and pulsed at my wrist with his panicked breathing as he tried weakly to shove my hand away. I closed my fingers around his heart, and it burst like an orange. Fell to the ground, dead. I wanted to run then, but I couldn't move.
You see, that wasn't hard, was it?
What did you do to me?
I woke you up, is all.
What does that mean?
It's hard to explain. First off, I'm not actually human.
What do you mean? What are you?
In Africa, my kind were called leopard men, because we're like cats in many ways. In India, they called us Rakshasa and told tales of how we can change our appearance. They considered us demons, and I suppose that's what I am.
Do you expect me to believe that?
Do you believe you just crushed Deputy Peterson's heart with your bare hand? You see, you're not human either, at least not entirely.
What are you talking about?
I smelled it on you that first night we met. I'm guessing your mother was human, but your father, the one who impregnated your mother and then disappeared, he was something else.
What?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I've been waiting for you a long, long time. You want to know about my life here? I had a dream 20 years ago that my son would be born here. That was a big deal, because my kind, we don't reproduce easily. I recognized that the dream was a prophecy, so I came here, thinking that I'd find another of my kind, have the child move on within a year or two. But I never found him. I become fertile only for a brief period every 2 years, and in those times I searched for someone like me to get me with child, and when I found no one, I took my fun with the human men. They can smell it when the cycle's on me, and they stop at nothing to get at me. They're fun to play with, but their seed is weak. But I knew the dream would someday come true, so I waited. And I've been waiting for 20 years.
And you think I'm going to...
Of course you will. Thanks to your father, your seed is strong, but your mind is weak. You'll do whatever I tell you to do. Now come here and open the wine.
My feet took an involuntary step forward, but I managed to stop myself. Just barely. What about Lacey?
Leave him right there, dear. I'm going to be hungry after. Now hurry up with that wine.
I couldn't stop myself. I did exactly what she wanted, and then, while she was dealing with Lacey's body, I took his car and dumped it in the old quarry. There was an investigation into his disappearance, but no one ever linked him to us. That was a little over a year ago. Melinda and I waited a couple of days, and then we began dating publicly. We were married a couple of months later. She still hadn't begun to show, but she assured me she was pregnant. They gestate longer than humans do. Eventually, she was showing enough that we couldn't deny it any longer. Why did I marry her, you ask? I had no choice in the matter. I never do. I try to fight her control every day, and every day I fail. She's made me do terrible things. It gets a little easier every time. And lately, I've even started to enjoy it, God help me. She's getting really big now. People are starting to ask questions because she's been pregnant so long. But she tells me it'll happen any day now, our son. We don't know exactly what he'll be, some sort of cross between her kind and whatever my father was. But he'll be strong, she can feel it. And the world will be his oyster. Literally. But I won't be here to see it, I hope. Please. I'm sorry. She won't even let me die. She never does. But it amuses her to let me keep trying. You have been listening to Crybaby Bridge. Written by Tony Fraser. And presented by the Fraser's Brain Theater of the Ear. Featured in the cast were Paul Badiger and Amanda Gannon. Music was by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. And the man who spoke to you was Tony Fraser. We'd like to thank you for listening. Have a happy Halloween. And remember, there's a voice speaking to you in the night. Listen.